Thank you. Welcome back to Controversy. We're sorry for all the technical difficulties, but as I said before, the storm that's coming out of the east is bad enough that it's affecting all types of things, computers, radio waves, you name it. So hopefully we don't have much more problem today, and I apologize. Well, I'm only apologizing because I'm close to the show because I have no control over the weather. But you're back to Controversy, and we ended up talking about something that Bernstein brought to me in reference to Hugh Hefner, especially when we're talking about respect for women. So Bernstein, talk about that a little bit.
Okay, so I've been watching this Hugh Hefner Playboy Mansion documentary. They've only showed two episodes, but so far they talked about the whole concept of you can come into the Playboy Mansion without popping Quaaludes. They was calling them the leg openers, right?
And they accused Bill Cosby.
Oh, I'm going to tell you, this is the part that the documentary is so crazy. Those are the main two people they accused, which is Bill Cosby and Hugh Hefner. It wasn't hundreds and hundreds of men who was coming in out of the Playboy Mansion.
Right.
But they make it just seem like it was just Bill Cosby and Hugh Hefner in the
Cosby,
Playboy Mansion.
Cosby was a constant visitor at the mansion?
Yeah, he was there.
I know Sinatra was there.
Sinatra was there. Bill Cosby, Dick Gregory.
Wow.
Malcolm X.
Malcolm X at the Playboy Mansion?
Malcolm X.
No, are you serious?
Yes.
Wow.
They said one of the number one articles in Playboy magazine was an interview with Malcolm X.
Really? Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know what? You're right about that. I do remember that.
Yeah.
I do remember that. But what was going on in the mansion that's...
underage ladies. Their motto was 14 and up, pretty much. And there was a lot of young ladies that actually lived in the Playboy Mansion with their parents, which I did not know.
Ooh.
And
sounds like a little R. Kelly, huh?
No, it's like a whole lot of R. Kelly. It's like, matter of fact, this actually sounds like it was an R. Kelly training school, because
wow.
Hugh Hefner been around since the 50s. And they were saying that it pretty much was a cult. You couldn't leave the mansion after 9:30.
That's, I heard that.
You wasn't allowed to speak to the staff.
I knew that.
So the staff would come in there and bring you something to drink or eat, and you can be going into a room full of all out pandemonium, if you know what I'm saying. And you couldn't even speak to the ladies or nothing.
You know what's interesting about that is when I was in the service and fishing at Great Lakes. We went to the place.
Great mistakes.
But no, we went to the mansion a couple of times, and you know, one of the big things about the mansion and socializing is trying to grab the bunny tails off the girls, because if you grab the bunny tails off the girls,
Then
you got $25 in a drink. That was a big thing. But when you talk about the culture, I mean, are we talking about sex with these young women? Are we talking about
really? And drugs.
Wow.
But now, this is the part that's always hypocritical. These are all the people that's talking who worked there 2, 5, 10, 20 years. They weren't complaining when they was getting them paychecks and no benefits. But now, since Hugh Hefner's dead now they want to come out and tell all the secrets. Because they're old now. But I'm going to tell you one thing, cut you off. One thing I did find out, though, was created by a woman of our culture. She was in there.
Really?
A sister designed that out the outfit.
Wow.
And Hugh Hefner was also one of the first social clubs or whatever that didn't have no racial bias at all.
Now that's funny you say, because now in retrospect, back in 75, they had quite a few black bunnies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Wow. So. Wow. I got to see this.
It's so convoluted. If that's the right word I'm trying to say. It's so much in this story. You got your good, your bad, your questionable. You see what I'm saying? It's so much this Hugh Hefner story, because you got one side of it where he's women liberation. Another side of it, he supported civil rights movement. Dick Gregory, he was the first person that got Dick Gregory. Like, I think Dick Gregory said he's making like $15,000 a week fooling with Hugh Hefner back in the 60s. You know how much money that is? $15,000 a week.
Wow.
So you get upset. So this story is so, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that, if you remember, after you died, his daughter wasted no time selling that mansion?
They sold the whole thing. The family don't even own the Playboy mansion, the Playboy trademark, all the stuff. They sold everything. They belonged with the company.
Oh, yeah, because as soon as it couldn't have been, we're talking months after you after died, his daughter, who became CEO and president, sold everything.
Well, actually, she sold the mansion while he was alive. But in the sales agreement of the mansion,
oh, that's right, he stayed in
he
it.
Had
yes.
to stay in there until he died. But
right.
they didn't even own it anymore. Yeah, correctly. His daughter sold all that stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those are what you don't know. Well, let's go back to what we were talking about, because really, I'm really want to talk a lot about this Black History Month, rather than Black History Year. Let me ask you this. In retrospect, as you're looking at things today, where do you feel, or do you feel Black people have progressed to a level they should be at this point? And that's kind of a hard question to answer. No, do you think we should be a lot further in our culture and respecting our culture than we are today?
Yes, I do agree. And I my whole thing is, okay, I'm trying to remember. I heard somebody say this quote couple months ago that said the only group of people that will fight, march, protest, let you stick dogs on us, spray water hose on us to be accepted to our oppressor. What they were saying was, just like all the other cultures, they was like, you're so-called free. That's whatever that means. But when you think about it, oh, I know what it was. They were talking about Black Wall Street in Oklahoma. And the dude, and they was talking about, like, think about this for a second. After the Civil War or whatever, we're supposed to so-called emancipated or whatever. It's like we have been fighting to get back under the control of our culture.
Do you think that where we are today, and I'm specifically, I want to say politically, okay, with the ascension of Vice President Harris, with the coming of a Supreme Court justice, do you think that that's a significant episode in our culture today?
No.
And why so?
Because this is the thing with us, and I fight for this, and I think that's the part. That's number one reason why we created Yizer, so we can show a perspective of our culture as moving forward and forward thinking. We were so excited. I saw sisters so excited about Kamala just because she was an AKA and wore Chuck Taylors. That's what it takes for us to make you Vice President of the United States?
Oh, wow.
Nobody put her feet to the fire. I saw more Pearls and Chucks parties and celebrating like it was a, like, and then so now she's Vice President. I'm like, what is she, like, we have to start holding ourselves more accountable, and we have to start holding our political figures more accountable and stop blaming them. I think that we should fix our house first before we worry about somebody else's house.
And you know what, that's what City County Councilman of Indianapolis, Indiana, William Duke Oliver said to me some time ago, that we need to start taking personal responsibility to correct the ills of our society. And he's 100% correct, because we have become so used to blaming everybody else for our problems, when the biggest problem is we are our biggest problem.
Yeah, we got a lot of self-hatred.
Oh, that's a fact. That's a fact. Let's talk about, now just changing the subject, because, you know, once again, I pick up things on the media that just grabs me, shocks me. And what I want to talk about is Malcolm X. Now, I recently just saw in the media that two of the men that they accused of killing Malcolm X were exonerated. As a matter of fact, they spent quite a few years in prison, over 50 years. I'm not sure if they spent 50 years, but I know it was a long time.
I think they at least did 20.
Well, they did more than 20.
I mean, but at least a minimum 20. Yes. 20.
And these men were convicted for killing Malcolm X. Now, right now, I guess they're involved or attempting to hold the state of New York as well as the city of New York responsible and want some type of settlement, for lack of better words. And you know, one of the things that really interests me in going back over that whole episode of Malcolm X's assassination and how rapidly that they arrested these men and put them in jail. I mean, in the perspective of, and one of them died last year. One of the things that the one who's living said was that he wasn't angry, and he, and basically just talking to the gentleman, because this whole thing was, he knew that God, Allah, was going to set him free. Now, in understanding that whole assassination episode and you being involved in some way into that culture, what do you think about how things were handled, and what do you think about today? Obviously, they didn't get the people who killed him. That's kind of obvious. But, I mean, what do you think about that whole episode? I mean, were you aware of what was going on?
Was I aware of the... What you mean? Like the assassination of Malcolm?
No.
I wasn't born.
No. Yeah. But were you aware of these two gentlemen's plight after a while? And well, what's your...
I'm going to tell you what's interesting. Brother Pepe and I had a show on the Pepe Snap Show a few months ago. We were talking about this. And we had a conversation that a lot of people was it's taboo to talk about. And we was talking about the fact that we felt that Brother Mark talked about the nation's business like that in public. The culture of our people in the court, you know, the black culture in the United States, we didn't gain anything by him letting the world know that Honorable Elijah Muhammad had multiple wives and multiple children. It was like, it's almost like that's something that seemed like because it could have been dealt in a private of the Nation of Islam. I'm not a part of the Nation of Islam.
Right. But let me ask you this now. I've read the autobiography, saw the movie, like most people. It's my understanding that when Malcolm found out about what was going on, he confronted the Honorable Elijah Muhammad with the information, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him, I am like David, I'm like these different people of biblical things, and, you know, that's the message that you should send. So once he sent the message out, as he was instructed by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, then what would have been the criticism of him speaking on it when he was told to?
He wasn't told to speak on the dirty laundry of the, you know what I'm saying? It's almost like, what's the benefit of putting out the dirty laundry? I'm gonna quit trying to sugarcoat this. And this could be my personal opinion, but is this, anything that a man touch has a sense of possible chance of corruption.
Agree.
Once a man touch something, it's no longer pure. So that's pretty much almost every organization, religious, corporate, has a sense of corruption, but it's not necessarily needs to be known by the public.
But at the same time, if you don't like the affair, then you should not be producing the cause.
Yeah, but the whole thing is, like, somebody asked the question, what was the benefit to either the civil rights movement or to black people to know that Honorable Elijah Muhammad had all these affairs? There wasn't no benefit. It's almost like gossip. Like, you know what I'm saying? There was no benefit to it. That was his belief, and that was his corruption.
Let me ask this question, and I agree with you. But what could have possibly been constructive about him doing what he was doing, yet he was criticizing and putting people out of the nation for doing the same thing he was doing.
Well, I can't speak on that part. I mean, I'm not a member of the nation, so I can't speak on that part. If he was doing something hypocritical like that, was kicking other people out, that's just as a skip, you know, that's hypocritical, correct. But when they still focus on the subject of Brother Malcolm, but still the no one can still answer what was the benefit of him letting the world know of the dirty laundry of the nation. Because still to today, because there was a documentary that came out, what, 2 years ago on Netflix about the murder of Malcolm X, and it's documented that he was assassinated by members of the nation out of I forget the mosque number out of Newark, New Jersey, I believe. But there's almost fact of there are diehard members of the nation that believe, like, we got rid of Malcolm just like we would have got rid of any other rat. But that's their belief. I'm not saying that's
sure.
my belief.
Sure.
But I'm just saying.
That's your opinion.
Yeah. But I when that person said that, I had to ask the same question. Like, that's just like right now at Yizer. If I go and go, man, Brother Steve, they got the radio show controversy. He doing this, blah, 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 blah. And I just blast you out in the public like that. But you're doing great work. You might even be doing something that has nothing to do with the work that you do in the community, but I'm just going to throw dirt in your name.
Well, but you know what, though? As you well know, I've experienced it.
Slander, that's the word.
I've experienced it for over 20 years, which you well know. And, you know, the sad part about it, not only in my situation, but in anybody's situation is I have lived my life as if I am not disappointed, nor am I saddened about anything I've done in my life. That doesn't mean that I've been pure, because obviously I have not. I'm just like any other human being. What's fascinating to me about this is the fact that the people who are spreading the lies, who are doing the damage, are people who are doing it, as I see it, to cover up their own ills. Okay? You know, it's fascinating that someone told the lie that's still going on today, that I broke into an American Legion post and stole the safe, and then came back the next day and broke in there again and stole the rest of the money. First of all, not only is that illogical, it makes no sense, but come on. Why would I break into an American Legion post, especially those I had the keys to? That's number one. Number two, if I was going to take something, I'm going to take it all at one time. I ain't going to set myself up to come back and get it. That means setting yourself up for failure and getting caught. Last but not least, I was in New York for the first time, and this is why it just bothers me. It bothered me to the degree, it bothered my wife to the day she died, is I have been so busy doing what I've been doing, okay, that for the first time that year, which was over 25 years ago, that I had the chance to be with my family for Christmas, all my family together, my kids, grandkids, and so I chose that time to go to New York to be with everybody, and 3 days before, 3 days after I got to New York, which was right 3 days before Christmas, then I get this call about them bringing it to the post twice, and I flew back home on my own money to find out what the heck was going on. And the police department investigators exonerated me from the get-go. And they even told us and showed us how it was done. Yet, these people who do nothing but have to talk about something in order to cover up their own dirt, decided that they're going to keep this lie alive. And it's been going on that long. You know, the funny part about it is that those who know me, and you've been around me enough to know that when it comes to certain business, I don't handle money. Why should I? There's other people to do it. But this is the lie. And that, if there's anything that's destroying the black community and our credibility, that is that. Okay, really, because I'm a confronter. If you tell me I did something, trust me, I'm going to confront the people who told you this. Mm-hmm. And when they sit there and tell you, he didn't say this or he didn't do this, but you keep doing the same thing over and perpetrating the lie, what good is it doing not only the community, but what good is it doing you?
None at all. What's the benefit?
There
What's
is
the
none.
Benefit of the dirt?
There is none.
I got another question about Malcolm again.
Sure.
No way.
Sure.
You're talking about this. They, you know, like when it comes to business and money and moving our people forward, pretty much Malcolm allegedly, you know, when he passed away, he wasn't a man of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if he had more of a business mind incorporated with his mission and his vision, the one that could have extended his life and saved him from getting assassinated?
No.
You don't think so?
No. I think that, you know, after certain things happened and went in motion, that it was just a matter of time. Just like Jesus Christ, it's just a matter of time. And that time, unfortunately, ran out for Malcolm. Being a human being, unlike it didn't run out for Jesus or Muhammad, because they're still living with us today. And that's the interesting thing about those two people, those two elements in our life. You know, Muhammad wrote some words. Nothing that would have warranted him to stretch over 2,000 years in philosophy. Jesus Christ wrote hardly no words, and we're still talking about these two men today. And the reason I think that is because, number one, let's understand the story, and you correct me if I'm wrong. You know, the interesting thing about it is that these were two brothers. They really were. Came from the seed of a man, and they had separate mothers. But these were two brothers that, because of circumstances, were separated. One was victimized, meaning Muhammad. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I don't care what anybody says. You can Christians argue with you all you want. Remember, I was a clergy as well. But the truth of the matter is, he was victimized, cast out of their village, and so Islam became what it is, as well as Jesus. But if you remember the story, that the father brought the brothers back together and explained to them what they should do. It's Ishmael and Isaac. What they should do.
Moses? Not Moses.
Abraham.
Abraham. Yeah, Abraham said Moses. Abraham. Right. Excuse me, you guys. Don't come throwing nothing at me. I'm sorry.
Right. And if you read the Quran as well as the Bible, it speaks about that. The interesting thing about it is this. To this day, 2,000 years later, we still have separation. And the separation happens to be over land. And that land, that is interesting to me. And, you know, and if you look at...
Unmuted. Okay, can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Okay, you hear me? Okay, we're kind of skipping around our technology and speaking on my cell phone. So I hope I hope you can hear me. But we will get this thing corrected probably Monday during the next show. But back to what we were talking about, and that's this. Should I go on speaker?
Yeah. No.
I wouldn't.
Okay.
Anyway, back to this whole episode of the things that we've been discussing today. I've got to get to my the ending part of my show, and that's catfishing. You know, I got to do my catfish alert. And right now, the reason why I have not mentioned names is because I'm conferring with my attorney to make sure that I don't cross that line from deflaming people's character to honesty in what I can and cannot say. By Monday, we should have that all corrected. Now, we'll start mentioning names, both male and female, because it's become a $500 billion fiasco in reference to social media, and I think these people need to be exposed. Has it directly affected me? Not from the standpoint that a lot of people might think. I'm not angry about it, because once I got on this track, then obviously people had wanted me to look into it a little better, so therefore I did. So I have not been caught up in the scandal like a lot of people think. This is purely informational and purely, you know, just out of respect for the fact that people should stop playing games like this, because, number one, they don't know how many people's lives are affected by it. and you're stealing. You're a thief. That's exactly what you are, okay? Anytime that a person, you know, hears your plight, especially the plight as well, I'm staying with my grandmother and, you know, my grandmother's sick and I need medicine, you know, for my grandmother. In actuality, you're stealing the money to use for yourself. Come on now. Especially black people. And there's a lot of it. Believe me, a lot of it. And so, I'm glad I was able to do the research, and I'm glad that I'm able to at least in some small way try to put an end to this culture of catfishing. You know, it makes me sick in the stomach to know that men and women, especially those in the service, are using this to make money. I mean, get a job. I mean, what's wrong with working, okay? Get a job. Stop hustling on people.
Oh, we're back? Okay, stop hustling with people, because number one, you're hurting them, you're hurting your family, and you're more than that, you're hurting yourself. Because number one,
you're putting yourself out there
like a whore. I mean, you know, and you know, there's honor amongst thieves, I get it, but there's no honor here whatsoever. What you're doing is wrong by any stretch of the imagination. If you think that you're getting over in life, check this out. Okay, don't play. If you call yourself a professor or a believer in the master and God, or Allah, if you believe in that and you're doing what you're doing, please don't think that you're going to find favor with either one of them, because it ain't going to happen.
Now, can we get back to the story you're talking about the brothers?
Okay, go ahead.
I got a question. I got this theory, though, Steve.
Sure.
And some people are like, you're crazy for your theory like this ghosting. Is it ghosting? I forgot my own name.
Bernstein.
That's my other Jewish brother. Anyway. I used to have this theory, and I could be off base, but years ago, I used to say that the Bible, the story of the Bible was Adam and Eve. Right.
Not Adam and Steve,
but Adam and Eve.
Right.
Supposed to be the first man and the first woman ever made by God.
Mm-hmm.
So then I asked myself, because I'm a critical thinker, it's like, well, if it was Adam and Eve, how did they populate the world? So if they had a child, a son and a daughter, in order to populate the world, does the son and the daughter have a baby, which is incest, and then another brother and a sister have a baby, incest. You get what I'm saying?
Sure.
This is my theory, me and my critical thinking. I always believed as a young man that the Bible was written about one particular powerful, strong, rich family and their kingdom. And it started with Adam and Eve, but then in order to have other children, they started mating with other. In other words, there was more than Adam and Eve here. It was multiple people here, but this particular story begins with the lineage of this one particular family. Does it make sense what I'm saying? I know it ain't theologically correct, what you're saying. Am I making sense what I'm saying, though?
It makes sense what you're saying, but let me share this with you. First of all, if you start the story wrong, then I guarantee you the end of the story is going to be wrong. For instance, 1 + 1 = 2. But if you start getting 1 + 1 = 3, I guarantee you the rest of your mathematical equation is going to be wrong. With that being said, let's look at how the Bible was written and why. First of all, the Jewish people were a nomadic tribe, very nomadic tribe. They were not as organized as some of the other tribes that existed during that time. So therefore, in order to organize, they had to create a culture, okay? That's history, his story, okay?
Correct.
Now, here's what we also know. We knew that the Bible was written by Sephardic Jews, who were black Jews, basically out of the region of Ethiopia, and they wrote in code because they wanted the message to last for years and years and years, and they were smart enough to know, even at that time, that if they didn't write it in code, then someone was going to prostitute his whole story. That's number one. Number two, let's really look at the whole Adam and Eve thing, and then maybe we can discuss or make sense to you. First of all, because it's written in code, this is what I have determined by my studies is this. For instance, the Garden of Eden. Okay, God created man and woman and all this stuff in a matter of 6 days and rested on the Sabbath. That part of the story is pretty accurate to a degree. But here's where the inaccuracy and where the problem comes in. The story is that this woman that God created to comfort man and gave him the right to even name that creature because he felt that the man was lonely, became this whole thing of Eve, okay? And then supposedly Eve, you know, got tempted by the devil with an apple or peach, pear, whatever the hell it was. Anyway, and then what happened was her chastisement was that she would endure children, but she would have great pain in doing such. She would bleed once a month, all these craziness. But here's what I sincerely believe. I sincerely believe that the snake who was supposedly the tempter was in actuality the penis of a man. Think about it. Now, the apple of the eye had to be the vagina.
Okay.
Okay. So that whole story, if you think about how it's written and what I'm saying, I can't say that what I'm saying is true, but the theory makes more sense than this whole story about the apple, the snake, and all that craziness, okay? Now, the part of casting them out, because remember that even in the Bible, the whole thing is don't take of this fruit, because if you take of this fruit, which is, I'm saying, the vagina, then you're touching on the knowledge of God, and the whole thing about the knowledge of God is God created life, so therefore, he didn't want anybody messing with it, okay? I got this. So now understanding that part of the story, let's go to the theory that you have. I cannot say this unrealistic theory, okay, because only God knows and he ain't talking, okay?
Facts.
Okay. Do I believe that there were other families? No, I don't believe that. What I do believe is, and this is not dirty, just think about it. Don't get hyped up on this. Oh, my God, it's blasphemy. It's not blasphemy. We're trying to understand something that really is not to our understanding, okay? We're trying to figure out how it could be. So the likelihood of the incest theory, you have to accept. Now, is that true or not? I'm not going to argue that. But you have to at least accept that as a possibility of a theory because we don't know. And there's a reason we don't know.
Right.
The reason is God ain't talking.
Correct.
Now, so I can't say what you're saying is wrong. Even the theory about the family thing, I can't say that. But what I can pick out of what I've read and what I've researched is what I share with you of how the story began in the first place. The strange part about it is this whole episode about Cain and Abel and one killing the other. Now, that's a strange episode that I cannot explain, okay? I really
the so-called first murder or whatever
right.
You call it.
That is something I cannot explain because it would not make sense in my brain that our God, regardless of what you call him, would be so magnificent in his creation. I mean, there's a reason why we're not hopping around on one foot. And there's a reason why we have two eyes, okay? There's a reason for everything that God created. That we do know. But for him to create murder for the sake of proving a point that he did not have to prove makes no sense to me. And that defies my understanding.
I can get that. I understand. I can see that.
So, especially when one of the very first messages, when you think about the Ten Commandments, which once again we're talking thousands of years later, was "Thou shalt not kill." Then, if thou shalt not kill, then why would God allow such a murder early on in the creation of man to happen? That doesn't make sense to me. But once again, it's not to my understanding. So you know, every time we have a show, especially when we get to the end, you ask some questions that make me have to really go home and do some. No, really. And that's important because critical thinking is something that has really eluded us, especially black people. Understand this, that we wrote the story.
Yeah.
And we wrote the story in such a way that we didn't want it prostituted. So therefore, the Sephardis wrote it that way. We are from the ninth tribe of Israel, which is the whole Abraham thing. I mean, when you look at the knowledge that black people have shown throughout the history, I mean, we created the mathematical system. We built pyramids. I mean, we did stuff that nobody even today can figure out how we
did. Let me tell you something else we created that none of us want to talk about.
What is that?
Racism.
I'm not sure I can relate to that, and I'll tell you why.
Everything came from Africa.
Right, but see, once again, it's about prostituting of true knowledge. Okay. Black people can't be racist. If you look at what racism means, you got to have numbers.
We was racist against the others before they flipped the table on us, is what I'm saying. Could that be possible?
No, because we've never had the numbers. And numbers are important when you're dealing with racism.
So there's always been more pale-complected people in the whole wide world? Because think about it. When you look at the United Nations, there's more people of color at the United Nations than pale-skinned people.
Absolutely. And the interesting
thing about it. So let's talk about America.
Wait a minute. The interesting thing about what you just said is listen to this. And that's why I'm not going to dispute it.
Yeah.
I just don't accept it. But here's what's interesting. Dr. Leakey and his wife, who for years studied man.
Okay.
The original thing was, you know, man came out of Europe, chromatic, blah, 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 all that stuff. But then years later, they came back and said Eve had to be a black woman. And here's how they justify it on the research, is because there's no other way for us to have multiple races. Races are multiple cultures, if this isn't so. And they went back and based it on DNA.
Okay.
So if anything should tell you something is that the story is not complete, and there are certain people out here who happen to be those of fair skin who don't want it complete. Why do you think they keep drawing the white Jesus?
Okay. Speaking of that, it brought me to what I just thought about. You heard what happened to Whoopi Goldberg, right?
Yes.
She got suspended.
I didn't know she got suspended.
They suspended her yesterday. You know they suspended her, right?
Right. I do know. I understand what.
I'm trying to find the quote. I can play it, which said pretty much.
That whole Nazi thing was not a matter of race.
Right.
Right.
Because it was white people against white people.
Right.
But then the Jewish culture came back and said, no, we are considered a race. Now, are they considered a race, a culture, or what?
Well, see, here's the whole strange part about that, especially thinking about her last name, Goldberg. But,
well, that's not a real name.
But that's no name she chose. But see, here's the whole thing in a nutshell. The only thing that Whoopi did wrong or said wrong was she didn't tell the other side of the story. And I think a lot of that has to do with her being caught up in the emotion and of the conversation. It is true that... Right. Who's
now, why is this black man so angry about what Whoopi said?
Because he's ignorant. You know, you just count ignorant people. But here's the issue. The issue is what she said was not correct, okay? But it's okay it wasn't correct. And once she found out where she erred, she tried to correct it. Well, that goes to show you how stupid our culture is. If I come to you and say, Bernstein, I said something now that I see what I said and thought about it, that I was wrong. I apologize. You know, let's move on. Then what do? We want to crucify a person who said something in error, even though it might have been hurtful to some.
Correct.
But they came back and apologized once they found out what they did was wrong. Okay?
Right.
To me, that showed an unbelievable amount of character, an unbelievable amount of being a human being. Why is it that when things go the other person's way wrong, that we decide it's time to not be human beings anymore?
I guess, but my question is, why are everybody co-opting the word race? Because maybe I'm wrong. I did not know that Judaism was a race.
Yeah, it's a race without a shadow of a doubt, but it's also a religion.
Right, it's a religion.
So it's both. The problem with her statement was she said that the whole Nazi thing wasn't about race.
Right. She says about white people on white people.
Right. Well, yes and no. Because remember, Hitler thought the same thing about black people. Okay, that's why that whole Olympic
and
Jesse Olsen thing.
But that's why I say that don't get into this whole black and white thing, because I don't identify as black. I identify as a culture, not a color. And that's where we get so diluted in these conversations, because I'm like, okay, which one is it going to be? It's almost like the transgender thing. Like today I identify as being a man, but tomorrow I'm identify as being a woman. So it's almost like, and I could be wrong, it's almost the Jewish people are like, okay, now we're going to identify as a race now.
But
you can't be a race.
But facts is, the only thing is, we don't like to deal with facts
okay.
that are against what we believe. For instance, if you look through the history of the world,
mm-hmm.
it's always been the matter of the Aryan or the color, being light-skinned, good, and those of skin of color, bad. It's always been.
It's always been, yeah.
If you look at the slavery, not just in America, but we can go to China, we can go to every country. It's always been that way. Now, if you ask me why, that's a good question. Once again, I don't have a clue. That God knows. I don't. But the problem that we have is we get caught up in things that don't matter. Inhumanity is inhumanity. Whether you're white or black, if you kill a person, God said, thou shalt not kill, then that's a violation of humanity. Period. Doesn't make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
What makes the difference is the fact that we keep expelling this theory or allow it to be expelled by a bunch of ignorant people that white is superior and black is not. When in actuality, it's not about color. It's about
cultures.
Culture. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, classic example. I don't care what anybody says. But I have probably been treated worse by people of color that come out of Africa, that come to this country, buy the filling stations, buy the cabs, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think it's color as much as it is culture.
Right.
And the culture is,
right.
You'll allow me to come to your home and take away your rights to your home and make it my home. That's stupidity.
Say that again.
Okay, in other words, I come into your house, take advantage of your house, run your house,
then
you deserve to be treated the way you're being treated. Because we in America, and I'll take America, for example, we in America have allowed these people, their culture, to come here, integrate in our culture, and they're getting all the gravy from it. They're owning our stores. They're owning everything because we don't accept the fact that it's not about color; it's about culture.
But we teach in America. And that's why. That's one thing that I love about Yaiser. We're teaching culture here.
Exactly.
We're not teaching color. And like I heard, like right there, I tell her all the time. She got. I'm like, you're not a black girl. You're a child of culture. That's what I tell her all the time because that's where we get stuck at. And it's just like this. When it comes to this whole slavery thing or whatever, why don't we ever hold the Africans accountable for their participation in slavery?
They sold us.
Exactly. But we don't talk about we don't teach that or even talk
Wait,
about that.
Check this out. Not only did they sell the product, they shipped the product.
Yeah, packaged it and shipped it.
And then shipped it. And see, people are on this thing that they shipped it directly to America. They didn't.
No.
They shipped it to Brazil.
Yeah.
And then to Barbados, and then to America.
What?
And the Portuguese were the ones that
and
did it.
Not only that, this is the part that people don't realize. They were selling slaves not just to America. They were selling slaves to England.
Yep.
They were selling slaves, I don't know about Australia, but they were selling slaves, whoever was buying them, they were selling it to them.
Business.
It was commerce. Business.
Commerce. I like that better.
You know?
You're right. Commerce. And it was about survival because
you
need to have something to trade in order to get.
Right.
The biggest commodity is human beings.
Exactly. And it's until today. What do you think being an employee of a company is? You're a commodity.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, and like we tell people all the time, people come to us and go, we don't like sales. We don't like sales. And I tell people, You sell your time every day you go to work.
Exactly.
You selling something you're never going to get back is your time.
Hey, say it again.
You'll never get nothing back. You never get your time back. You're selling your time every time you go to work.
Hello.
So you are a salesperson.
Hello. You're 100% right. And you know the sad part about it is that when you say things like we're talking about now, especially to our own people, and that's why I refer to myself a person of color.
Exactly,
okay?
Person of color, yeah, exactly.
But what happens is you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, they definitely going to say that.
Well, the sad part about that is I do know what I'm talking about because it's about me, for me.
Yeah.
Personal responsibility.
Personal responsibility,
comes
exactly.
Back to that, no doubt.
Got
to
get a clap for that. Yeah. How much time we got?
Not much.
How many?
I don't know. Five minutes?
What's it say?
Man, I can't see.
You can't see that?
It says 9 minutes.
9 minutes.
Still so talking. Okay.
Let's get ready to close out.
Do that. You know what? It's been fun, but we got to run. We've got some things we have to work on, especially our technology, which we're going to perfect. Let me share this with you, our lineup, and I want you to check it out. It's our radio lineup, YazzaRadio.com. Once again, it's YazzaRadio.com. Moving forward, Sunday from 7 to 9, Thursday from 10 to 12 p.m., hosted by our very own Dwayne Abernathy. Brilliant. I mean, that's the only way you can describe him, brilliant. Controversy, this Me, You, See It's on Monday and Wednesday from 10 to 12, hosted by Stephen V. doing the Key of V. And also, Culture Talk Radio. That's Tuesday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., Friday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., hosted by my girl, Kay Marie, and Talk to Tana. That's Tuesday, 7 to 9 p.m., hosted by Tana. Also, on the TV lineup, we've got, on Sunday, Culture Kings, two brothers that are dynamically from two different areas, yet have a common goal of telling what we all should be doing is the truth. That's what it is. That's on the SIB TV channel. And on Wednesday, Pep and Snap, that's on the One God TV channel on our network. And on Saturday, Yaza Radio Raw on the Yaza Radio Raw channel.
So if you want to see how Mr. Steve looks, tune in on every Saturday. You can see his beautiful, glowing smile.
Yes, I am. But anyway, this is Steve B closing out on Controversy on a Wednesday. Don't forget to check our show out and call in and talk to us sometime. We'd like to hear your views. The phone number is 515-605-9800. And don't forget to support Digital Guard. Digital Guard is for personal and home use as far as protecting your family and your business. You can contact them at www.preventbusinesscrime.com for your business and www.preventhomecrime.com for your home. Thank you. I'm looking forward to talking to you later on. Bye, y'all.